Welcome back to the Hardline. Enter at your own risk.
It's the final hour of the week here on the Hardline, powered by Johnny Londoff Chevrolet, along with former Blues enforcer Cam Jansen, former Mizzou receiver TJ Moe. I'm Eric Messersmith. John Hadley out today. Matt Rocchio is here running the dials, as always. 855-282-8255 is the Ryan Kelly phone line. It's 855-282-TALK.
You going to Lake, TJ, you say?
Yep.
Is it gone down?
It was way up yesterday.
Really?
I'll have to see. I don't know. Yeah. I'm going to go tomorrow morning. I'm gonna write down my dad. My mom is going to the Bahamas. So
with Eric?
Yes.
Yeah, we're gonna take a little trip down.
Good for
just
you.
Just
her and
I.
And my sister are gonna go to the Bahamas. My aunt lives down in West Palm, and they're gonna go down there for a bit, and then go to the Bahamas and come back.
It's the Hardline here on 590 The Fan, and joining us now on the Ryan Kelly phone lines is the man himself, the home loan expert, Ryan Kelly. What's up, man?
What up?
Well, guys, how are you?
We're doing well, buddy.
It seems like it's been. Seems like the Cardinals were really bad when we talked last. Now they're really good. It's been a while. How's it going?
I credit that cat.
Yeah, right. It's all the cat. It's all about the cat these days in the bushes, right? Appreciate letting you jump on. I wanted to talk real quick and just kind of give everybody a heads up on something that we're doing at the Home Loan Expert Office. We've just kicked off our third annual Climb for the Kids, and the Climb for the Kids is something that's really close to me because the last 2 years, I've climbed mountains to raise money for the children in need, to raise the dollars for those charitable organizations. And so I've been up there on the top of these mountains thinking about the kids, you know, battling cancer back at home and all that. And I've always enjoyed it. Well, this year I wasn't able to do it myself. So we're sending our running team, and they're going to be doing a marathon from right outside of Colorado Springs all the way to the top of Pikes Peak, the summit, 14,100 feet. And then they run back down, and it's gonna be a tough run. They're doing it through the woods, through the trails, not on the road. And we're hoping that people will contact or, you know, go online, read it, read the stories, thehomeloanexpert.com, click on the Climb for Kids, read about our adventure of training for this event, and you can more importantly read about the four charitable organizations that we're raising money for. We're at about $10,000 right now, already raised. We just launched it on Monday of this week, so we're doing really good. But the kids need more, and every dollar counts. Friends of Kids with Cancer is one of the original foundations that we raise money for. They're locally based right here in St. Louis. It's Friends of Kids with Cancer. And then we also have Safe Connections. They do counseling service for domestic violence. We have a kid named Roman. Roman Tuff. This guy's a stud. He's 5 years old. He's diagnosed with leukemia. He's got a long, hard road, you know, behind him and a little bit more ahead of him. So, and some other things. So read about the Climb for the Kids, guys. Anybody here going to the game tonight? Anybody coming down?
I don't think so.
I don't think so, my man.
But
you know what, Cam, you should be doing the Climb for Kids with us. Maybe next year. You down for something like that?
100% down for that, man. 100%. I'll go to Colorado anytime.
Yeah, no doubt. I'm going to go out there for sure. And
yeah,
I'll be out there next weekend. Where we do the run. It's a long deal, and we kick it off next Sunday, a week from this Sunday. So that's August the 20th. So clearly, I got to be out there. We're going to do a lot of fun stuff and try to remember it all when we come home. But it's going to be a good time. But next year, we're talking about summiting this big mountain down in Mexico, Cam.
Ooh.
It takes 9 days. It's a big trek. It's tough. There's some rope work involved, ice axes. I mean, you're going over 20,000 feet. It's a little technical climb, but I'm going to get you some of the details as they come up. I'd love to have you on our team next year doing the Climb for the Kids 2018. So we'll leave it there. Guys, I really appreciate letting me jump on the phone, talking to you guys about this. Let the listeners hear about it. Research these four charitable organizations. A lot of people always ask, how can I give back? Well, here's a great way to do it. Here's a good way to give back right here in your city. Tax deduction included, all that. TheHomeLoanExpert.com. Thanks, boys. I'll talk to you real soon.
See Thanks,
you
Ryan.
Jesus.
Ryan Kelly, the Home Loan Expert. There you go, Cam. You want to join him for that 9-day climb in Mexico?
He's got to realize I can't even run around my subdivision right now. Like, oh my God. I need some training.
You haven't tried since you got a mentality.
That's true.
Yeah, now you can probably climb that mountain.
That is a good point, TJ.
You wouldn't even need that rope or the ice picks. You just scale right up that thing.
I might run from here.
It's 5:04. If you're just leaving work, some of the big news of the day. The PGA Championship is suspended. Play suspended in the second round. Kevin Kisner is your leader at 8-under par. Hideki Matsuyama is 6-under. Jason Day, 5-under. Louis Oosthuizen is 4-under. Ricky Fowler is 3-under. I know that Zach Johnson is plus one. God, I'm looking for the big names, and they're so far down. Dustin Johnson's plus one. Where are you? Rory is plus two, and Phil Mickelson missed the cut in the event. Also, the group with Derek Jeter is the group that's going to buy the Marlins for $1.2 billion, various media outlets reporting that now. And Ezekiel Elliott suspended six games by the NFL for violating the personal conduct policy. The suspension comes as a result of an investigation that started more than a year ago after an ex-girlfriend accused Elliott of domestic violence in Columbus, Ohio. The Columbus City Attorney's Office said in September they would not press charges, citing conflicting and inconsistent information. But the NFL, as we know, TJ, can penalize a player even without legal charges.
The NFL is just so bad with PR. Like, they could have broken things down and been like, eh, you know, they probably don't pull a girl's shirt down out in public. That's a game. And here's it's a couple. Probably don't punch anybody in the bar. There's a couple games. Yeah. And then that's just on top of all this. We're taking away almost half your season because you're an idiot. Mm. That I actually would be more okay with.
I know. Just say it.
It's just, you're a moron. Here's five things that you've done recently to make us look bad. We're taking away six games. Stop sucking. And I'd actually be like, actually, yeah, he's done a lot of dumb things. Mm-hmm. What I don't like is playing criminal investigation law. They didn't even bring charges. And this, we took into consideration everything, but we just suspended you based on the domestic violence that we're not sure actually happened.
Mm-hmm.
I don't like that. Eric doesn't like that.
I don't like it. I don't like it at all. I don't think this is what the NFL
should
be doing.
Be consistent, please. Please, please. Learn some consistency. At least if you consistently sucked, which they do. That's the only consistency they have. They consistently suck at what they do. If they consistently said it had been six games for everybody, but you can't do the Josh Brown thing for one game when he admits it in his journal and then turn around and do this. And then it's just so sloppy for a, what is it? This is a $12 billion a year.
Something about that. Thereabouts.
12 billion. It was 10, between 20, 10
What's
and 12.
A billion when you're, you know, that high, one way or the other?
$1 billion a year corporation, and you just stumble all over yourself every time somebody does anything.
They do, man.
They need to just stop with the suspending people when there's not legal charges involved and just say.
And suspend the guys that
and just
need
come
to be
forward
suspended.
And say, you know what? It's just, it's beyond our area of expertise, and we're an entertainment product. And we're going to leave it to individual teams to decide if they want to sign players based on whatever information they've gathered. And then if a team decides they want to cut ties with a Greg Hardy type or a Ray Rice type, then the team can make that decision.
And actually, that would like move all of us forward in society, I think, to some degree, because instead of all of us aiming our anger at Roger Goodell for sitting him too long or not long enough, we would be aiming it at the legal system to say, are you kidding?
Yeah.
This guy is like, I mean, we remember this is, what was it, 1998 or whatever it was? Leonard Little drunk driving killed a guy and was back on the field. Like, that sort of stuff, you're like, well, Roger Goodell shouldn't be the one in charge of all this. Paul Tagliabue, these guys, he shouldn't be in charge of all this.
It also puts the onus on the teams then, because fans who were upset by teams employing certain players could then vote with their dollars. And they could say, I don't like this guy, and I'm not going to support the team anymore if enough people do that.
But it gets the NFL out of harm's way. That's the point. And then we all actually point our anger at the legal system. And as we know, the legal system is any judge, anyone who's ever been involved with the legal system will tell you it is severely flawed. Everybody knows this. And we can then aim our anger at that instead of how many football games he's playing, because doesn't that sound kind of silly?
Why do you guys love woman beaters from White Marcus?
Yeah, I mean, why do you, Eric?
What's not to love, you know?
I mean,
come
what
on.
It is.
And that is why Eric had to feel like, look, can we just point out,
yes,
disclaimer,
let's just
say I do not
for
condone
like 20 minutes.
Beating women.
Not
like,
only do I not condone it, TJ, I'm against it. I'm anti-domestic violence. I'm anti-racism.
Anti-death, for sure.
Yes.
Anti-cancer
yes.
right here.
Yeah, I don't
absolutely.
Like cancer.
Oh, I'm so pissed about that.
Mm. Terrible thing.
And I think we should all protest it.
Speaking of the Ezekiel Elliott suspension, which, by the way, he says he will appeal, Vegas sportsbooks have paused betting on the Cowboys because of that. Multiple sportsbooks halted betting for the Cowboys' Week 1 home game against the Giants. The Cowboys had been listed as a 4.5-point favorite over the Giants at most books before the game was taking off the board. Books also stopped accepting wagers on Dallas' season win total, which had been listed at 9.5. Book managers said they wanted to hear about any potential appeal from the Cowboys before reposting that number.
9.5 is such a good, that's a great over-under for that team. Because I mean, my guess is probably between 8-8 and 10-6, depending on how the team. Now with Zeke, you could lose more than that because they probably would have been favored in. I thought they would lose the Giants anyway, but they've maybe been favored. And they would have definitely been favored.
Are you worried
Arizona.
About their D? How's their defense?
Back four struggled. They really struggled last year, and then they lost them.
They lose a couple offensive linemen too.
I think they just lost one.
They lost Doug Free.
They lost one, but then they had a backup who had played like a starter anyway. He was kind of just as good and moved him. And their offensive line is going to be just as good.
Still legit. Yeah. Okay.
The Cowboys had been a popular bet this offseason to win the Super Bowl. Only the Patriots and Raiders had attracted more money to win the Super Bowl than the Cowboys at the South Point, where Dallas was listed at 5-1 odds to start the week.
What about Dak? Do you think teams are going to start figuring him out?
Based on recent history.
A lot of video on him now.
Eric, based on recent history, that means they're going to win the Super Bowl. Because whenever Goodell goes after a player, they get suspended, then they go ahead and win the Super Bowl that year. That happened to Tom Brady last year, Cam.
There you go.
What about before that?
Well, so far it was just and that's the pattern, so that's what we're going to stick with.
Okay.
To your question on Dak. There was a lot of film women in college. Okay. There's film. This idea.
It's not going to make a difference.
It's less. It's less about baseball. Excuse me. This matters
baseball
more.
Baseball has nothing to do with it.
to me, it's more. This matters more in baseball for a pitcher to actually see a guy and know, hey, if you throw it up and in on him, whatever.
Or a goalie or something like that. Yeah, I get your point.
But
I get your point.
You got film on a guy unless he just because you have to think about it. You're not really rookies anymore after about 8 games. They got half a season on you. They know what you're good at and what you're bad at. Here's what really doesn't matter when you have an offensive line. You can't touch a guy. Anybody can do whatever they want because you know this. You like if you sit back in the pocket for 4 seconds.
Yeah,
that something's gonna be open.
Yeah,
you get four.
You
seconds
need to make
back
that
there.
Play.
1, 2, 3, 4.
It's
balls
lot,
out.
That's a lot of time,
and you can't cover for that long. That's what they tell you. That like they tell you when you're covering guys, just guard them for 4 seconds. 4 seconds, the ball is going to be out, and then what if stay on? You know, unless he's throwing a fade, but just guard him, and then our rush is going to be there. And the line is so good, and then you got Zeke, who's such a great pass blocker too. That's the part that we're not talking about here. Zeke ran for whatever it was, almost 1,700 yards and 15 touchdowns last year, and he also had the backfield had over 300 yards and a touchdown receiving. He was so dynamic that everybody's talking about that. He's one of the best pass blockers in the league.
Really.
He's so good. So that take that out, too. Now, is Darren McFadden going to block like that? I don't think so. So now Dak's got to watch his back a little bit more.
Alfred Morris.
Miss Janie Shanahan. Just got in the car. Have you guys discussed how this would impact Elliott's fantasy value? How early would you still take him?
He was a top three pick but prior to this. The top three picks should be all running backs, Le'Veon Bell, David Johnson, Ezekiel Elliott. Now, 6 weeks in, I don't think he's a...
I'd say maybe like
third rounder,
sixth. Oh, I'd take him later than that because most fantasy football seasons are what 14 weeks regular season. So he's missing half of your regular season.
Depends
That's
on keeper league, dude. It depends on what you got. If you're in a keeper league and you already have a number one running back and he's on the board, then you maybe take him in third round, fourth round. Depends on what you got. Most leagues now are keeper leagues. A lot of people don't just start from scratch, and it depends on your point system and all that kind of stuff. But
if you're not
going to go early,
if you're not in a keeper league, I wouldn't pick him before I've picked my starters. Before I picked my starting running backs and receivers, I'm not going to take Zeke.
I would
if the suspension
because there's so everything's running by commit running back by committee now. Anyway, it's rare that a guy just gets the load. Zeke was one of
those
guys.
What do you mean running back by committee?
This guy is going to go first and second down. This is your third down back, and he's going to come in for short yardage situations.
I see.
So it's a bit one big committee that, and it used to be back in the day. Jerome Bettis ran every single play. Right, it's like you didn't have these guys like Marshall Faulk was an every down back.
Yes.
Why would you need a third down back when he's the best pass catcher in the league? But he's also great at running between the tackles. Then you came in and the Darren Sproles of the league started to come in. Christian, McCaffrey. Mm-hmm. He's a third down back. He's probably not going to run between the tackles very well. He's going to be a pass catcher and such. So when you have running back by committee, you just find a guy and. I would pick my number one back first. Usually, most leagues, you play two running backs. Take my running back first, then I would take him as my second back. But in a lot of leagues, because all quarterbacks put up decent points, if you're not getting like Aaron Rodgers, everybody's putting up pretty decent points because it's kind of a crapshoot for the rest of them. Like Brady sucked for years and years, and then he came back like the last 2 years because he didn't have a lot of weapons. It didn't mean he's not a great quarterback. Traditionally, quarterbacks are going to get you points. It's running backs that are going to get you a ton of points. So I'd pick the number one guy, and then I'd take Zeke because he – think about this. If he's as good as everybody thinks he is, and he's going to be fresh coming up, think about that. He's not going to be getting hit or tackled. Everybody's going to be dead tired for the first 6 weeks. And then he comes in, he might win you the title.
It's the Hardline here on 590 The Fan, InsideSTL.com. The other big news of today, Rally Cat has been found. An hour ago, the Cardinals tweeting out a picture of the cat in a cage.
It's a boy cat. I don't want him.
Oh, so Cam is out.
What do you
Cam
have
will not adopt.
Okay, they have a weird.
You're an animal sexist.
Yeah, I am. I'm surrounded by women.
And you
house.
Said it's because they urinate in the
yeah,
house.
Yeah, they have it. Their piss smells more potent, I think.
Is that true?
Yeah.
Rock, look that
Rock
up. Does
that
male
up.
Cat
because I've
urine
been wrong so many times before on this kind of
female.
Stuff. Like peeing on your feet if you get stung by a jellyfish. That's
a common thing to
is
believe.
Is that a,
yeah. It's common to believe. It's wrong, but it's common to believe.
Okay.
Maybe people just like that because it feels good.
I mean, think about
feet.
It. Everything that you think, somebody probably told you. Somebody,
there's always a reasoning for everything, TJ. We've talked about this.
Yeah.
So they found
somebody
the
told
cat.
Me something. I read it somewhere. I heard it on the news. Oh, my God.
I didn't just make this up.
I just make this
you
up.
You think I just peed in my foot and felt better?
I want to put a couple things together with it. I don't know. My God. Yo, I do think that boy cat. Rock, look that up, man.
And the Cardinals, winners of six straight, will take on the Braves tonight. Who knows? Maybe the rally cat will make an appearance. The Cardinals a game behind the Cubs. The Brewers are two games out, and the Pirates are three. So you have four teams separated by three games. Should be a very interesting finish. Cardinals and Braves at 7:15 tonight. Adam Wainwright will go for the Redbirds. Matt Adams will make his return. The lineup, Carpenter, Pham, DeYoung, Fowler clean up again, Yachty hitting fifth, Jed Jerko back in the lineup at third base batting sixth, Wonger in the seven hole, Grichik is hitting eight, Waino is ninth. Rock, do we have an update
Rock, go
on
ahead.
Cat?
Go ahead, Rock.
Yeah, Cam's right.
Wait,
about
what?
What?
Wait, no, wait, what'd you say?
Say it again. Male cat piss does smell worse.
Really?
Wait, what'd you say before that?
Cam was right.
Okay.
Ah, well, there it says.
Yes!
There you go. I would have never known that male cat
you
urine.
You learn something new every day.
Okay,
really,
I should
baby.
Say unneutered male cat.
Damn,
oh.
It smells worse.
If they're neutered, it shouldn't smell worse.
Oh.
Or I guess spayed or whatever.
That I was still right.
And the Cardinals will go for seven in a row tonight when they take on the Atlanta Braves. And it looks like, I guess, Matt Adams in left field. So how do you guys, what do you guys think about that tonight? Hit just
well, he was great in left field with the Cardinals.
Pulled his snot out of the ball.
He was great with us.
All righties, you mean? Hmm? All righties.
Yeah, I'm sorry, righties.
By the way, for the Cubs, Wilson Contreras, I saw this tweeted 10 minutes ago by Kerry Muscat. Contreras has moderate right hamstring strain. Timetable usually 4 to 6 weeks. So there you go. The Cubs could be without a guy who's been arguably their best offensive player this season, certainly since the All-Star.
Well, good thing their backup catcher
weeks.
Didn't call out their Jake Arrieta, so he's still on the team.
Yeah,
he
still
is
doing
not
good. They
on
love
the team.
Him. He's a great teammate.
They did trade for a backup.
That's frowned upon in catcher. Your world, though, right?
What's that?
What that catcher did?
Well, if Jake would, if Jake could get me the ball at some point, I might be able to throw somebody out.
But timeout. He was right, though. He was right because he was throwing, delivering the pitch, slow at delivering the pitch.
Yeah, but he was wrong because the other catchers were throwing people out like crazy.
And
but he was still right with what he said, though, wasn't he? I mean, he.
Well, he was saying that, like, I forget who they were playing. I think it was Nationals, maybe. Mm. Stole like seven bases, and he's like, well, Jake can't get the ball to home plate, and. They're like, okay.
But he wasn't throwing anybody out before that with any other pitcher.
I don't think he threw anybody out all year.
Yeah,
he's still right, though. Okay.
Not really, because other people who are catching with Arrieta were throwing people out.
But
he was still delivering the ball slow.
He was. He called out one teammate, though. One specific teammate. Whereas
so
guy
it's
like
kind of
Pham,
the same thing.
Pham kind
that
of
same thing
general.
That Matt Carpenter did.
Yeah, and I hated that, too.
Oh, with Rosenthal?
I hated that.
So he'll be out
like,
4 to 6 weeks.
Remember what you just did? The baseline?
Yeah, I see. I'm fine with it if he says it all the time. He's like, he sucked at that. He sucked at that. I really sucked today. Did you watch the game? I'm awful. Like, you know, if you go through and if you're going to be the candid guy, go ahead and be the candid guy. Don't be the candid guy one time all year when it's somebody else.
Pick and choose. Yeah, I hear you on that.
And that's the thing about Pham is he's very hard on himself.
He is.
Very
he
hard.
Is.
Even when to he the is. Point where he has good games and he's like, well, I had that strikeout in the third inning. Yeah, but Tommy, you hit three home runs. Yeah, I can't hit like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, but did you see me whiff?
The Cubs did trade for a backup catcher, Alex Avila, which was a nice move from the Tigers. He's having a good year. By the way, his dad traded him because his dad was the general manager of Detroit, and he traded him to the Cubs. ESPN.
Son, you suck.
Yeah, well, he was going to be, yeah. He wanted,
it,
you know
son.
What? Go to a situation, or maybe he's doing a favor. You know, get out here and go to a situation where you can win.
You want to go live in Chicago for a while? What do you think?
Go ahead, son.
He's having a really
a great
good
adventure for you.
Apple falls far from the tree, I can tell you that.
ESPN.com, Dave Schoenfeld came out with an article, managers, MLB managers on the hot seat. And your St. Louis Cardinals manager, Mike Matheny, was listed there. This is what he said about Matheny. Matheny's in-game strategy has long been a popular target for criticism on Twitter, but ownership put a lot of faith in him last winter when he was signed to a 3-year extension that runs through 2020. So that makes him safe, right? Not necessarily. First, for a franchise that expects to contend for the World Series every season, the Cardinals missed the playoffs last year. Only a recent winning streak moved them back over 500. A couple of weeks ago, John Mozeliak said maybe the broader question is, do an attitude and culture need to be something that we look at to either change or shake up? A few days after that, Cardinals catcher Yadier Molina took a shot at Matheny on Instagram when he posted a quote from Matheny that implied Molina looked tired. It's never a good sign when the face of your franchise is openly criticizing the manager. Aside from all that is the troubling management of some of the younger players. Colton Wong has bounced around from starting second baseman to outfielder to bench player, and now he's back in good graces. Yeah, but he hasn't done that this year. Aledmys Diaz was an all-star last year, and now he's in the minors, as is Stephen Piscotty. There was the odd experiment with Matt Adams playing left field. Look, it's not Matheny's fault Trevor Rosenthal twice forgot to cover first base, but the constant shuffling of roles suggests a manager or front office without a strong ability to properly evaluate talent. Watching from afar, I'm not exactly sure what Matheny brings to the table. If the Cardinals miss the playoffs and finish around 500, don't be surprised if he gets the boot. That's a national writer who, no offense to him because he's really good and he knows a lot of stuff, that just is too far from the situation. And if they finish around 500, there is a 0.0% chance that Mike Matheny will be fired. 0%. If they lost out from here to the end, then he might get fired. If they finish around 500, he ain't getting fired. And he shouldn't. First of all, he's got a three-year contract extension. They like him. He had one. His worst year is 86 wins and missed the playoffs by a game. That's his worst year. Now, this year may turn out to be worse than that. We'll see.
But I don't think it will.
You think they'll be better than 86 wins?
They're darn close, right? They'll probably be right around.
Or they'll win 86, but this time they'll win the division.
Yeah, which how much credit do you get? I mean, a couple of years ago, the Panthers won the division at 7-9 and made the playoffs. You don't keep a guy around just for that.
No, you're right. You have to look at the win-loss record and how they're trending. But they're certainly trending in the right direction right now. And some of it is on Matheny, no doubt. Like, a lot of the stuff he says in there is legitimate in his little critique there of Matheny. But it's not just Matheny. Like, if you put a little bit of blame on Matheny for the inconsistencies of Wong and Diaz and Piscotty, there's some blame for the organization, too, because maybe they misjudged some of that talent. Aledmys Diaz, I think I checked the other day, he's hitting .260 at AAA. Maybe he's just not that good.
It'll be super
interesting. Maybe the league figured him out.
And we'll be able to figure this out shortly here. Because these guys are all going to, if they're not with the Cardinals, most of these guys have enough talent, they're young enough that they're going to get a chance somewhere. If these guys all go and rock out somewhere else, you're going to know the answer to that real quick.
Right.
Is it Mike Matheny or is it John Mozeliak? Because they got some talent, and is Matheny not capable of developing it? As you pointed out before, La Russa always would say, it's not my job to develop talent up here. I'm trying to win games. They should be developed by the time they get to the majors. Well, that's not really true. You do a lot of maintenance.
Well, baseball's changed. In La Russa's day, which wasn't that long ago, very rarely did guys come up to the bigs without several seasons of minor league experience. Now it happens quite frequently. The more and more younger players all over baseball. This isn't unique to the Cardinals. The game has changed in that regard.
And it makes sense, but at the same time, that requires a lot of maintenance.
It does.
A lot of maintenance.
And look, sometimes guys just take a while to figure it out. Like Colton Wong. If you look at the way Colton Wong has played this year, it appears he has figured it out. Still has the defensive block here or there where he just easy plays and boots the ball or makes a terrible throw. But overall, I mean, he's been very good. Hitting above 300 now. He is on a tear. He's hitting .412 with a .488 on base this month. So sometimes it just takes guys. Not every guy's Mike Trout, where they come up and they're there and they're never leaving. Sometimes guys have to go to the minors. Sometimes they struggle for a year or two, and then eventually they figure it out. And I think that's what's happened with Wong.
It'd be nice if you hit one of those and you didn't have to send all your guys to Memphis every year.
Yeah.
I didn't think about that. They're missing all these guys.
Who's the last young guy, position player, they've hit on?
Oh, position player. I was going to say Martinez. And I mean, once he came up young, he hit it, and he was rolling.
Yeah. But even he started in the bullpen, and they kind of got him in. Was it Yachty? I mean, who's the position player on this team?
Carpenter,
yeah, that came up and then never had to go back down. Jeez, are Yachty and Carp the only ones? Because you can't count Fowler because he's a free agent. Grichik up and down.
Piscotty, Pham, Martinez, all your outfielders.
Yeah.
Every one of your outfielders has been up and
Paul
down.
Paul DeJong, as of now, He hasn't, because he's only been up. He hasn't gone back down. So Paul DeJong, as of now, is the only one who hasn't.
Can't count Jericho, free agent.
Wong.
Wong's been up and down. So you have Carpenter and Yachty. And Yachty is very well on his way out, and you better hope that Carson Kelly is not one of the up-and-down guys.
Oh. Yeah, absolutely. 855-282-8255 on the text line. Eric Messersmith, Cam Jansen, TJ Moe. This is the Hardline, powered by Johnny Londoff Chevrolet on 590 The Fan, 105.7 HD2 FM, and InsideSTL.com.